diagnosing a lot of people with Lyme here in the province that I live in, which I now call British Columbia. And, you know, he's diagnosed 400 or more people with Lyme, but a lot of them I've talked to have the same symptoms as me. But the antibiotics seem to help a bit, so that, I don't know if you have the second picture there, that was from August of 04. Did you have a second picture
I
there?
Did, I think I did, mm-hmm.
Yeah, in that one, the lesions were, I had just as many lesions, but they weren't deep anymore, they were more on the surface of the skin.
Again, I'm making general statements, but the dermatology community's interest or lack of interest in patient care around a condition like this. Deborah, you have, I think, up to 2,000 people now who have registered on your on your site regarding this. What can be said about the limited amount of information on parasitology, and is there a subspecialty in dermatology that's a little more open and people should consider going to?
Well, I've always suggested that people seek forensic medical professionals because they're one of the specialties that stayed intact through all the changes in medicine. They're there for what other people can't figure out. And funny enough, the CSI on television, the forensic show that's so popular, that's the word I was looking for. Their mantra is, you know, listen to the evidence. And it so applies to this. When you get to see the data on all these people, it's consistently the same. And I think that the dermatology mentality is one that's difficult to unentrench, if that's a word, and we need to find other specialists who will be more open-minded and fair to evaluating these people rather than thinking that a delusional diagnosis gives them the freedom to dismiss the people. If they think they have a delusional illness other than medicating them, that still would warrant serious following and attention. So there's an irony there that's not too pretty.
Can one request a consultation with a forensic pathologist if one's alive?
I think they're difficult to find. I know all the police departments have them, but they have huge associations that you probably could Google online. I would discourage people from running to the line angle. I think that trying to fix something that you really don't have a sense of what it is the ultimate challenge. So if they could find their way to forensic specialists that could do the science that would visually document the reality for their skin, then you could go from there. But until that happens, it's a wall that people are bouncing off of everywhere.
David, when you went to the second dermatologist who wanted to also prescribe antipsychotic medications, and you spoke to your family medicine doctor and give it a try, you mentioned that you actually had induced psychosis from the medication. Were you also in treatment with a psychiatrist while you were medicated, or it was only recommended that you take the medication?
No, I wasn't in treatment with a psychiatrist or psychologist. That's what I found strange, was that a dermatologist is giving me medicine for a supposed mental disorder.
Yes. And when was there some suggestion that if you took this antipsychotic medication, it would be a period of a couple of weeks and it would all go away? Or was this suggested that for the rest of your life you would be on antipsychotic medication?
They suggested that it would take some time, at least anyway, before I would start to notice a difference. And probably it would have taken, if I'd taken it for the time that they wanted me to take it, I'd probably be in a state where I wouldn't even notice that I was alive. Hmm. From the reaction I had from the ORAP, which, by the way, I've since found out contains a vermicide and an antiparasitic. But they didn't tell me that either.
Deborah, are many of the people registering all supporting that they've been prescribed antipsychotic medication?
Yes, I think that's the hallmark of of the reports that we're getting.
And without any therapeutic relationship to follow them and monitor them?
No, not that we're aware of. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, everybody's practicing psychiatry without a license, basically. And, no, the people really don't want this population to visit their office.
Are there greater numbers of men to women or women to men who are suffering with this?
We have more reports from women, but I think that's more of a reporting factor than it is an incidence factor. We certainly hear from a considerable amount of men. They don't seem to be bogged down by it as much as women. They brush it off and deny. But, you know, there are also questions. There's a lot of questions that we don't have answers to, but there are big questions about, are there people that are carrying this from person to person without being symptomatic versus those that suffer, as David has?
And any children?
Entire families, which is, you know, attributed by the dermatologists as what they call mass hysteria. So everyone is psychotic or delusional by proxy or something. I don't know how that works, but entire families. Families who had a guest in their home at the time of onset from a foreign country, or they took in a stray cat, or their house flooded, or the sewage backed up, or they crawled under the house to get a dead animal. You know, varieties like this that still come back to nature.
We have just a couple of minutes left. I am struck and deeply disturbed and moved by the testimony by you, David, and by the reporting by you, Deborah, and your fortitude and perseverance on behalf of community. So in the next minutes, let's see where we can go in terms of either posing a question or, if you have, in fact, Deborah, something you'd like to state before closing.
Well, I think that once a physician labels this, whatever they may label it, they have a choice, and that is to follow this person responsibly or to refer them to someone else. But a diagnosis of delusional illness is great responsibility, just as a diagnosis of being infested with lice or scabies or calambola. So there's no easy way out of this, and there needs to be a sincere scientific collective effort to get to the bottom of it sooner rather than later, although it's been a long time since the calls first started coming in. So that's why we're here. We hope we'll have others contact us with more hopeful information following the program.
Will you please let people know how they can reach you?
Yes, the best way is our website, which is headlice.org. Our phone number is 781-449-6487. There's an answering device there if the office staff isn't available during the night or whatever, when you feel like calling. But certainly register at headlice.org on the reporting registry if you are one of these individuals that have the biting and the crawling and the feeling that nobody believes you.
Mm. David, I want to thank you for joining us and give you a moment to also express your final comment.
What I can suggest is what I tell people that Deborah puts me in touch with is, if you go to a dermatologist and he won't do a skin scraping, or denies that he knows how to do a skin scraping, denies that he has a microscope, then just walk out of his office. Don't talk to him anymore, because he doesn't know how to do his job, or he doesn't want to do his job, and you're wasting your time. And then you could probably also make a complaint to, if you have a college of physician or surgeons for your state, complain that this guy doesn't even know how to do his job. If they get enough complaints, maybe they'll take some action.
Thank you. I want to thank Deborah Altshuler from the National Pediculosis Association. Their website is www.headlice.org, where you can go online and get more information and also register if you are someone who feels as though you have a condition that has been similarly described today on today's program. David, for your courage to step forth, to share your personal story, we are forever grateful. I wish you continued healing and complete recovery, and your courage and your advocacy for yourself and others is quite admirable, and we appreciate you joining us today on WBAI.
Welcome, and thanks for doing this show.
Thank you, Barbara.
My pleasure. Thank you, Michael, for engineering today's program. I'm Barbara Glickstein. You're tuned in to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. You've been listening to Health Styles, which is brought to you by the Nursing and Health Resource Network in cooperation with the New York County Registered Nurses Association. Stay tuned. Continue to support this important radio program and this important radio station. Your money is needed. Your funding is needed. Help us by sending in a contribution. Take good care.